గాయ గోపీ గన బాలి గాయ గోపీ గన బాలి గాయ గోపీ గన బాలి గాయ గోపీ గన బాలి యమున తీవనకావి తీవనకావి So today's Srimad Bhagavatam class Jayam Vishnu Pada Paramahamsa Vajakachaya Asataya His Divine Grace A.C. Bhakti Vedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki Jai. Jayam Vishnu Pada Paramahamsa Vajakachaya Asataya His Divine Grace Saraswati Goswami Maharaj Ki Jai. Anoti Goti Vaishnava Vinay Ki Jai. Namacharya Haridas Thakur Ki Jai. Vimse Gaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Kadadar Shabhasa Guru Bhakta Vinay Ki Jai. Vrindam Dham Ki Jai, Bhakti Devi Ki Jai, Tulsi Maharani Ki Jai, Prabhupada's Transcendental Book Distribution Ki Jai, Gaura Premanande, all glories to the Assembly Devotees, all glories to Assembly Devotees, all glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga. Okay, so Srimad Bhagavatam. The verse is 11:31:13. My good friend Keshava will be doing the Sanskrit and the word for word.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Tathapyashesha sthiti sambhavapya yeshu.
Ananya hetu yada shesha shakti drik.
Ananya hetu yada shesha shakti drik.
Nai chatvanetum vapuratra sheshitam. Margena kim swasta gatim pradarshayam. Tathapyashesha sthiti sambhavapya yeshu. Ananya hetu yada shesha shakti drik. Nai chatvanetum vapuratra sheshitam. Martyena kim swasta gatim pradarshayam. Tathapyashesha sthiti sambhavapya yeshu. Ananya hetu yada shesha shakti drik. Nai chatvanetum vapuratra sheshitam. Madhyena kim swasta gatim pradarshayam.
Thank you.
ladies.
Tata api, nevertheless, Ashesha, of all created beings, Stiti, in the maintenance, Sambhava, creation, Apyayeshu, and annihilation, Ananyahituhu, the exclusive cause, Yap, because, Ashesha, unlimited, Shakti, potency, Drik, possessing, Na Aichat, he did not desire, Pranetum, to keep, Vapuhu, his transcendental body, Atra, here, Sheshitam, remaining, Martyena, with this mortal world. Kim, what use? Swastha, of those who are fixed in him. Gatim, the destination. Pradarshayan, showing.
Thank you. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. I'll read the translation here. Translation by the and purport by the disciples of Srila Prabhupada. Although Lord Krishna, being the processor of infinite powers, is the only cause of the creation, maintenance, and destruction of innumerable living beings, he simply did not desire to keep his body in this world any longer. Thus he revealed the destination of those fixed in the self and demonstrated that the mortal world is of no intrinsic value. I would like to offer my respectful obeisances unto my spiritual master, who has opened my eyes from the darkness of ignorance with the torchlight of knowledge. I would like to offer my respectful obeisances to all the Vaishnava devotees of the Lord, who are just like desire trees and are full of compassion for the fallen conditioned souls. Okay, so we read the purport here. Although Lord Krishna descended to this world to save the fallen souls, he did not want to encourage people in the future to loiter here unnecessarily. In other words, as soon as possible, one should perfect one's Krishna consciousness and go back home, back to Godhead. If Lord Krishna had remained longer on the earth, he would have unnecessarily increased the prestige of the material world. As stated by Sri Uddhava in Srimad Bhagavatam 3:2-11, Lord Krishna, who manifested his eternal form before the vision of all on the earth, performed this disappearance by removing his form from the sight of those who are unable to see him as he is. Due to not executing the required penance, Uddhava also states in the Bhagavatam 3:2-10,
devasya mayaya spushita ye chanyar asar ashritaha brahmyate dhir natad bhakyay atman yuktat manoharo.
Under no circumstances can the words of persons bewildered by the illusory energy of the Lord deviate the intelligence of those who are completely surrendered souls. One who follows the Vaishnava authorities in his attempt to understand Lord Krishna's transcendental disappearance easily appreciates that the Lord is the omnipotent personality of Godhead and that his spiritual body is identical with his eternal spiritual potency. Okay, so this verse is very instructive. Krishna is always, he comes here to instruct us. And so even when he's leaving, he's instructing us. So unfortunately for the persons and the great personalities that were on the planet at the time when Krishna was here, he had to go. So I'm quite sure they didn't like that. But anyway, this is what happens. Krishna is always teaching us something. And when we're fortunate enough, through the mercy of our spiritual master, we can learn the what we need to learn. And like Krishna is saying, in this mortal world, there's no value here, no value at all. The only value that we have here is to prepare ourselves to leave. And that's the most important aspect of being here at this particular time. Now, in the purport, the devotees were talking about perfecting one's Krishna consciousness. And this is what Krishna is saying. So I have a question to the assembly devotees here. What are some of the ways to perfect one's Krishna consciousness? Perfect, perfect answer. Anybody else? Yes, ma'am. Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, what are some of the ways to perfect one's Krishna consciousness? Now, Krishna is telling us that we should perfect our Krishna consciousness and get ready to leave and come get out of this place. Okay, so and we as devotees, we have to learn what are some of the ways that we can perfect our Krishna consciousness. So that's the question. What are some of the ways to perfect one's Krishna consciousness? Yes, Mother? Oh, he said, chant Hare Krishna. Here's Srimad Bhagavatam. Thank you. Associate with devotees. Take prasadam. All right, yeah. Take more prasadam. Right. Yes, go ahead and read those nine processes, Mother. That's it. Yes, yes. Yes, yes, Mother Sukhana.
I was going to say, serve the devotees.
Serve the devotees, yes, very important. Yeah.
Chant 16
rounds. Chant 16 rounds, yes. Especially if you're initiated. If you have to chant 16 rounds. But if you're not, do the best you can. So, but yes. Oh, we got another.
Please the spiritual master.
Avoid offending the devotees. Avoid offending the devotees. Wow, you guys are mind readers. I was thinking about this when I was studying for this verse yesterday, and. Some of the things that came up in my mind was Anartas, and the biggest obstacles
for us is anartas, biggest obstacles, because sins are easier to, with chanting Hare Krishna, it can help us to sort of, I don't want to say the wrong word here, but we don't, well, one thing for sure is we don't want to commit sinful activities while chanting Hare Krishna. But inadvertently, we're in this immaterial world, so unless we're like really pure devotees and things like that, I'm quite sure there's a whole lot of them here. But so what we want to do is to chant very attentively. One of the most important things of our spiritual life is chanting attentively. Spend the time in the morning when you have a Krishna, especially when you're amongst a devotee, to chant attentively. This helps with the different sins that we commit during the day, and especially if you're out, so you're doing all kind of things in business and things like that. So now, aparadas is another whole story. So we have to be careful with aparadas. And just like Mother Mukhi was reading this morning, pajalpa is very, very bad. So we got to work on not talking about devotees and things like that. Because aparadas is, I was reading yesterday in Bhakti Tirthaswami's book, he was talking about aparadas. And he was saying that very important, even Krishna, the Supreme Person, cannot help us if we commit aparadas. He cannot help us. So now, if God can't help us, we're in trouble. So now, the thing is you would have to go to, say, if you commit an aparada against a person, you have to go to the person and apologize. And even if you apologize and that person accepts that apology, that doesn't necessarily mean that Krishna will accept it. So it takes a lot of penance. And Bhakti Tirthaswami gave an example. He was saying that, for example, if you steal somebody's car, all right, you steal somebody's car and you get caught and you go to jail and they let you out. Okay, fine. You got out of jail. All right, now, for the aparada, you would have the point is aparadas is so hard is because if you're you stole a car, you would have to buy the person another car, work and buy the person another car, and be the chauffeur too. This is how aparadas is. So this is very important. So. And this is very important. So we want to perfect our Christian consciousness, and we can do that by having a good association. So let's move on here. Okay, I want to read Bhagavad Gita 9:14. And this is what practically everyone was saying here. Okay, 9:14 by Bhagavad Gita. Always chanting my glories, endeavoring with great determination, bowing down before me. These great souls perpetually worship me with devotion. So, that says it all. Now the purport is very important too. The Mahatmaha cannot be manufactured by rubber stamping an ordinary man. His symptoms are described here. And Mahatma is always engaged in chanting the glories of the Supreme Lord Krishna, the personality of Godhead. He has no other business. He is always engaged in the glorification of the Lord. In other words, he's not an impersonalist. When the question of glorification is there, one has to glorify the Supreme Lord, praising his holy name, his eternal form, his transcendental qualities, and his uncommon pastimes. One has to glorify all these things. Therefore, a Mahatma is attached to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And one one quick story comes to my mind. It's sort of like a Sankirtan story. I was in my ride sharing, I distribute Bhagavad Gita's. So, and Krishna will send people to get the books. So anyway, I picked up this one lady, and I have Sachinananda Swami chanting. So whenever they get in the car, it's like the spiritual world. You know, they just get in, and it's a beautiful chanting of the Hare Krishna going on, and so people, students or anybody, when they get in, it's so stressful living in this world out here. It is so stressful. You know, you can just glance at the newspaper. It's like, wow. You can just look at the headlines and your mind is messed up, you know. So now, so they get in the car. This one young lady gets in the car, and immediately she says, "Tell me something about these about the Hare Krishnas. What makes them so different from other you know religions and everything?" So I briefly told her, and it was about a 7-minute ride. So that was a pretty, question like that, and to answer it in 6 minutes. But anyway, I asked her, I said, "So what are you studying at University of Florida?" So she said she was she's a graduate student, and she's a journalism major. So I said, "Oh, interesting." Okay, so I explained to her, I said, one of the most important things about Christian consciousness is understanding that Krishna, our Lord, he's a personality, and he has a personality just like us. So this is why we come to Krishna consciousness, really, actually, is to fall back in love with Krishna. And we know that we cannot fall back in love with Krishna unless, you know, just like we love our family, we love our country, we love so many things. But to know the personality of the Lord, the Supreme Lord, and it's so enlightening just to hear about his pastimes, be in the association of devotees, and so the Lord has a personality. So that was the main focus I could give her, and so she took the book and everything else. So anyway, it's a ride sharing program. So I don't ask people for donation, but they leave tips and things like that. But anyway, so all the other devotees who do ride sharing, I get you some books and be a riding Sankirtan. Distribute Prabhupada's books. You know, this is he wrote those books, so we got to get out there and do them. And so that's the name of the game. All right, so now let's go forward here. So I'm going to read something else here. And this is from Bhagavad Gita 9:22. "Those who always worship me," and I know you devotees know this verse, "but for those who always worship me with exclusive devotion, meditating on my transcendental form, to them I carry what they lack and preserve what they have." Purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. "One who is unable to live for a moment without Krishna consciousness cannot but think of Krishna 24 hours a day. Being engaged in devotional service by hearing, chanting, remembering, offering prayers, worshiping, serving the lotus feet of the Lord, rendering other services, cultivating friendship, and surrendering fully to the Lord. Such activities are all auspicious and full of spiritual potencies. which make the devotee perfect in self-realization, so that his only desire is to achieve the association of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Such a devotee undoubtedly approaches the Lord without difficulty. This is called yoga. By the mercy of the Lord, such a devotee never comes back to this material condition of life. Kasema refers to the merciful protection of the Lord. The Lord helps a devotee to achieve Krishna consciousness by yoga. So that's in the purport. The Lord helps us. He just helps us along. You know, and you know, in distributing Prabhupada's book, this is very important for people. Always carry books with you. You know, and this is very important. Always carry books, because another story. I picked this guy up. One point is, and you can't judge a book by its cover. You just can't do that doing book distribution. I picked this one, he was an Indian body person. I picked him up. So he was sort of agitated when he gets in. He was a student. And a lot of these students are going through so much at these schools, you'd be surprised. And I just picked him up over at this infirmary or something over there. When he got in the car, he's a big, tall Indian guy. And so he got in the car, he dropped his medication on the seat of the car and everything. So anyway, so it was like 81 degrees outside. So he tells me, he says, turn the air conditioner off. So I said, okay. I know it was like a test or something, you know. So, okay. So I turned the air conditioner off. So then he says, roll the window down. So I said, okay, I roll the window down. So then I have the Mahamantra playing. So he said, could you turn that music off too? And I said, okay, all right. So then, you know, I just drive along. I started chanting to myself, you know. Anyway. But the thing is like in book distribution, you want to always leave the person a good impression, even if they refuse to take a book. You know, and Vashek, I was watching one of his a book distribution seminar, and he told us one story where he was distributing to some Christians, and he went up to these Christians, and he was tell him his what he says to him, and then so they refused it, and then so rather than getting combative with him and things like that, he just said, okay, thank you very much. And by the way, he complimented these people about their religion. So then he goes on, he's distributing more books, and so then the people come back, he says they come back and they get some books anyway. You know, so the moral of that story is to always try to leave a good impression on people. You know, this is when, especially like when people come to the temple. When people come to the temple, new people come to the temple. If you don't know them, say something to them. And so when they leave, they will never forget the Hare Krishnas, because that's one time that human being came to the temple. You know, and so. Anyway, when the guy got out of the car, he might have been expecting me to be agitated or something, you know. But anyway, I have a trick for him. I had some prasadam, some candy. So I said, okay, here you go. Here, this way. He took the candy. He was very grateful to get the candy, too. I gave him the candy. He said, thank you very much, and everything. So anyway, so I'm thinking, in doing all this, okay, well, Krishna is sending me some people that don't want the books. So then the next person I get, his name was Muhammad. And so I'm like, okay. And I was thinking in my mind, you know, this is like to drive the point, though. You can't judge a book by the cover and the name and all that. So I'm thinking in my mind, okay, Krishna is sending me Muslims and things like that, so whatever. So anyway, the guy gets in, And he's listening, and I'm looking at, I'm looking back in the rear view mirror, I'm looking and watching him once in a while. So then, anyway, he, so when he was on the way out, I said, okay, I'm going to take a chance and offer him a book, you know, even though he's a Muhammad and things like that. Because the previous guy, before that, he was another Muslim guy, and he was like, he didn't want to hear it, you know. So anyway, I offered him a book, and this guy, he surprised me. He turned around, he said, thank you. You really want to give that to me? I said, yes, of course. He said, thank you very much. And you could see how it moved him. You know, as soon as they touch the book, it just melts them. You know, so that's how powerful these books are. You know what I'm saying? So anyway, and one last Sankirtan story, I picked this other guy up. He was 80. He was 80 years old, and I picked him up in the woods. It was like down on 441. It was he had to come out of some farm area, whatever. So he's 80 years old. He was a trucker. So as soon as he gets in the car, he sits right up front, you know, and he starts telling me about his whole life. You know, I'm like, okay. So I'm listening to it. His son was a trucker and everything else. And so, I mean, he went on and on. He told me about everything, about his wives and all this, you know. So I'm listening to listen, you know. So anyway, and he's listening to the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And, you know, the funniest thing, when he got out the car, he was one of the things he told me, he said, he went to his doctor. He says, the doctor told me, said, what's your secret of living to be 80 years old? And he said, I drink a good booze. So I was saying, oh, man. And so, but anyway, the guy was a nice guy. So when he got the book, he just took the book, picked it up like this. And I said, this is the song of God. He was looking at that book, and he kept looking at the book. And he, when he got out of the car, he was looking at the book all the way over there, too. He was going through this elk club or something like that. So it's important, you know, this distributing these books is sweet and everything else. So this is how we can help ourselves and help Srila Prabhupada's mission. Okay, so all right, so what are some of the ways that we can perfect our life so we can go back home? What's that? What are some of the ways we can perfect our lives? Hare Krishna. Attend the morning program. It's very important. I'm glad you said that, Mark. It's very important. Very important. These temples, you know, if you take the time out of your busy schedule and go to the morning program, this is very important. You can listen to it online too. We love it. Do the best you can, but it's even better to come to the morning program. You know, so that's very important. Yes, Chip.
So follow the rules and regulations nicely.
Yes.
Preach, help other devotees, and so forth.
That's right. That's right. Serving other devotees. Now, let's see, I want to read. Any more questions, any more answers about perfecting Christian consciousness? That's right, all the time. And we can, and you know the funniest thing, when you, because the Lord says, the Lord is a personality. And once we connect with the Lord, when we start connecting with Him, He sees the endeavor that we're trying to, He sees what we're trying to do. You know, so when we make and sometimes we'll be tested. Sometimes we'll be tested. We'll be like, trying to be listen to the Lord and listen to his pastimes and preach to our relative and so forth and so on. And it might be some difficulties. Could be some difficulties, but we keep it up, and Krishna will eventually help you. Because he's your friend. He's our friend. And he wants us to help other people. So, yeah, that's a very important point. So here's something I'm going to read. This is from... Yes.
I had a question about... because you were saying that if you offend a devotee, that the person you offended may forgive you, but Krishna may not forgive you. So I was trying to think how that works, because the main story that I remember is Ambarish and how Durvasa Muni, well, he offended Ambarish, and so the Sudarshan Chakra was pursuing him up and down all through the different planetary systems, and finally he came to Lord Narayan, and Lord Narayan said, we have to get forgiveness to my devotees. So, you know, that's why I always thought that that was kind of a automatic thing. I understand that it might not be, but I'm just wondering if there's any stories to, like, or if you know of any information that would say that the devotee forgives you, but Krishna doesn't forgive you, because Krishna's, like, so forgiving, generally.
Yeah, but I was reading in, this is Spiritual Warrior, it's back to Tirtha's one book. I was reading it last night. I can't think, I haven't seen it a moment. I can't think of it now. But I would give you the book. I'll bring it to you.
Okay.
And he explains about it in much more detail. And he tells a story that you're talking about,
okay,
too.
All right,
yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Okay, so I want to read from Bhagavad Gita 9:14. Okay, so... Always chanting my glories, endeavoring with great determination, bowing down before me, these great souls perpetually worship me with devotion. And so I want to read some part from this purport, Prabhupada's purport. That is devotion. Shrivanan, Kirtanan, Vishnu, Smiranan. Remembering him. Such a Mahatma has firm determination to achieve at the ultimate end the association of the Supreme Lord in any one of the five transcendental rasas. To achieve that success, he engages all activities, mental, bodily, vocal, everything in the service of the Supreme Lord, Sri Krishna. This is called full Krishna consciousness. Now I'm going to skip a little bit down in this purport. As described in the second verse of this chapter, not only is this devotional service easy, but it can be performed in a happy mood. One does not need to undergo any severe penances and austerity. He can live this life in devotional service guided by an expert spiritual master, and in any position, either as a householder or a sannyasi or a brahmachari, or in any position and anywhere in the world, he can perform this devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead and thus become actually a Mahatma, a great soul. So, and going back to the verse here, so when Krishna, he's leaving, He's leaving, and he's instructing us to make this our last birth. Come on back home. And, there's so many, we get into activism and we want to help the world and politics and all that. But just like a devotee was saying the other day, that's going to be here. This is in the scriptures here. That's going to be here. When we leave, it's going to be here. You know, these material worlds is nothing but misery. So you can, the best way you can help society is becoming Krishna conscious yourself. This is how you can help everyone, you know. Yes, Prabhu?
Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur gave a, I think Tamohar Prabhu repeated twice in his classes. When someone commits offense to another Vaishnava, his intention is need to be checked. If he really understands that he committed offense and he wants to get out of it so that he can progress, then he should go straight forward to that devotee and try to serve him in a way that and confess that I did a mistake and ask for forgiveness. If that devotee holds grudge that don't want to forgive, then he should find a way to see where that devotee's intention is, attraction is, and he should serve those things that devotee will see eventually that, oh, he's trying to please me, he's trying to get out of this, then he will forgive. If that doesn't work, then he should go and appeal to other devotees and serve those devotees and tell them that if they can speak to that devotee to get it. If everything fails, then he should take shelter of holy name completely. Then it will be done.
Yes.
But it should not be cheap way to escape, take shelter of holy name and not pursue. It don't work.
Yeah, and then just like in the example that Bhaktivedanta Swami gave about the car, the only person that really knows what we're thinking is Krishna. So, and he knows past, present, and future. So, if the operator is really, really bad, then, like you're saying, we take shelter of the holy name. And sometimes it might be best just to, if you go through all the processes like you're saying, and still we're finding, because usually a devotee will forgive another devotee, you know, regardless. But it's Krishna is the one in the heart. So when he decides when that operata is over, then like in one case, one story where the Prabhu had to take a ghost body. So so it's left up to Krishna ultimately to make that decision as far as the forgiveness on these serious operata.
You remember a couple of years back, Hiriraj Maharaj gave a Sunday feast class here in Alachua. And I had a nice talk with him after that. And in the class, he mentioned something was striking. He's such an advanced soul, but so humble. And he said he was having pre-bronchitis kind of it, with some cold that was not going away from his chest for months. So he goes to South Africa. He went to this Ayurvedic doctor in South Africa. In the reception, they have two setup. One is for Rajasic, one is for Sattvic. Sattvic is like a beautiful fountain with a nice music, flute, and the receptionist tell you to sit down there and wait till the doctor is ready. There's a reason why they do it. It's not like a Western way of like waiting in the reception. And then Rajasic, where there's a red, everything red flower, and then like a little disco music type of kind of things. So they gave Giriraj Maharaj the sattvic facility. So Maharaj was sitting there, and all of a sudden, some emotional thought came to him about 40 years back that he was not able to get rid of that ill feeling against a devotee in book distribution in America. But he was holding it, but kind of forgot it. So then he thought, that's very strange. Why I'm thinking of that? And that's really bother. Why I never resolved it? And as he thought, he was feeling really sad and he wanted to get out of that in near future. So little later, the receptionist called Maharaj for interview with the doctor. So the doctor, he looked at Maharaj, he said, so what is your problem? And then Maharaj expressed that I have this cold bronchitis type of, not going away. He said, according to Ayurveda, you are holding grudge against someone. And Maharaj was shocked. Whoever were in Sunday feast, if you remember, Maharaj, he said he was shocked just to hear this doctor is saying.
I heard that story too. Yeah, I heard it too. Yeah.
And then he says, yes, I was against a devotee of my godbrother that I did not appreciate. I always thought he was like on my way to like bossing around or something. So he said, if you get rid of the grudge, then this bronchitis will go away. And that was the medicine. And he came and he was so humble, Maharaj, that he actually gave the whole narration what he did. He called Radhanath Maharaj and he told him about this devotee. I won't say the name. So anyway, then Radhanath Maharaj told him. And then both were counseling each other. He said, don't you remember how many books he served to Prabhupada? One time he came to Prabhupada and told him. And Prabhupada was so happy. So he served Prabhupada so much. Why can't we see that, focus on that? And then we'll call him and appreciate that what his service is. And he did. And his disease gone.
Yeah.
So my point is, even devotee, once they come to surrender, they should not suffer. But all the suffering, most of it, is all due to the offense.
Yes. Thank you for that. Yes, Mother.
There's a question back here as to knowing the difference between an offense to a devotee or just or questioning what is wrong with that person? Why do they are they thinking like that? I mean, aren't they Krishna conscious? Why can't they just get it? Kind of thing, and like an observation or how do you? When do you know it becomes an offense? Anybody out there?
See, one thing, I'm going to I'll give you a book written by Bhakti Tejaswami. He talks about this extensively. But one thing is, for people, and I've read it like several times, but anyway, when people commit operatas, there's a difference between sins and operatas. So when people commit operatas, it's just like a thief who steals and he gets away with it. He steals and he gets away with it, and it's, so the consciousness is sort of getting degraded. I was talking to a sannyasi, and this one sannyasi he came to my house, and he was telling me about how this one devotee he goes online. And he's really off the wall with a lot of operatas and everything. You know, so Maharaj was explaining to me. He said that sometimes what happens is they get to a point where they just gets worse and worse and worse, and pretty soon we may not be around, but they will be completely smashed. You know what I'm saying? So now the important thing to remember is this: is that the Krishna, when you surrender devotee, even for devotee, you commend the operata. So when you surrender devotee, it's left up to Krishna. Krishna can arrange, he's the ultimate arranger. So he can arrange everything. So he can arrange rectification, redemption. You know, and in the Bible they talk about redemption. So, but he has to, sometimes it takes time, sometimes it might take lifetimes. You know, hopefully we won't get to that point. But we have to be careful, just like Tamil Krishnamurti Goswami said, the devotional service is like the razor's edge. So you have to be very, very careful. And then when you run into people who are talking about people and pajapa all the time, just get away from them. You know, that's.
I guess the question was, what's the difference between an offense and a critical assessment?
You know, say that again, Prabhu.
I think the question was, what's the difference between an offense and a critical assessment? Yeah.
Okay.
So I got the mic. I can't help you. It seems an offense is you really don't have the other party's best interest at heart, that there's some envy being projected upon them. You know, so in one sense, you're trying. It's whether willfully or subconsciously, you know, this person shouldn't get the credit, or you know, shouldn't get facility because this is something that is bothering me for whatever reason. You don't have the other person's best interest in heart, and from Krishna's perspective, that's not very cool, especially in devotional service. So then it kind of boomerangs back on you to hold you back until you alleviate that issue in your heart. A critical assessment is you do have the other person's interest in heart, and you're trying to, you know, there's some issue here, we got to work through it. You know, like a doctor, you know, cuts, but it's therapeutic, whereas a mugger cuts, but it may not be as
therapeutic. Yeah, but see, there's difference between operatas and offenses. As we progress in Christian consciousness, and I had that particular verse here, the purport in Proverbs, talking about envy and things like that. So sometimes we're envious of our own relative, we're envious. That kind of thing sometimes is going on all the time in people's minds. But the operata is in a totally different category, because that you're acting upon your envy. So take, for example, you envy somebody, and you envy because this person knows more slokas than you, or you might think in your mind, oh, this person looks better than me, or they might be whatever, you know. And so then you start doing some things in your activities to make it hard for that person. And then Krishna sees it. Now, a person who is struggling and trying to be Krishna conscious, he will identify in his own internal dialogue, because this is when we talked about this, monitoring your internal dialogue. What am I thinking about now? All of a sudden the mind tells you something, because the mind is always telling you all kinds of stuff. So the mind tells you, okay, I don't like this person, I like this person, I don't like this person, I like this person. So you can subdue the mind by this Hare Krishna, shut up mind, Hare Krishna. And then eventually when you fight that, and this is what I do, when you fight that, then eventually the mind will relax, and that kind of stuff will go. But being in the association of advanced devotees helps one. When you're in the association of people who are like materialistic people, they do this all the time. You know, you can see in politics and things like that, they hold grudges, they do all kinds of things, kill people and all kinds of stuff. So when the association of more advanced devotees, then we can learn how to control that kind of stuff. So it's 9 o'clock, and Pranagar, you want to say something?
Discussion with Radhanath Maharaj, and you know, there is many in past times in our Mahaprabhu's time, even the Bhakrishwar Pandit, Devananda Pandit committed offense to Sivas, but he got love of Godhead, and then Mahaprabhu told him that, I know you got love of Godhead, but still you should go and pay obeisances. So it was like a kind of a how is this possible, when Mahaprabhu says if you poke a thorn on your toes, you cannot pull it out from the shoulder. This is the logic of that sloka. Kata phute jai mukhe sei mukhe jai. Wherever the thorn poke, you have to pull out from there. You cannot pull out from the other part of the body. So if somebody committed offense to a particular person, he cannot just go to, oh well, I'm serving my guru, but I don't care about the other Vaishnava. It doesn't work. This is Mahaprabhu's teaching. But in Bhakrishwar Pandit case, it was exceptional. So then I remember Radhanath Maharaj says, but what was his intention? That was the key point. What was his intention? Mm-hmm. Bhakti Siddhanta Thakur made.
Mm-hmm.
Because the definition of offense is given by Madhurya Kadambini, that a utterance of name which is consciously made with enmity, mm-hmm. consciously made with mm-hmm. enmity in the heart.
Mm-hmm.
So if the intention that I don't want to commit offense, I am respecting all these living beings, they belong to Krishna, Krishna is in their heart, and I should be very careful, because I want to love Krishna and same Krishna in their heart, how can I do anything harm to them? So if intention is good, then eventually Krishna will guide from within to get rid of or protect myself. If the intention is not pure, that's where all the problem starts. Patching around, it doesn't work really, ultimately.
Thank you. We'll take one more question from Madame Mohan.
In the clearing stage, which is just past the offensive stage, when someone, they don't want to leave things as they are, they want to clear their offenses. So I think it's Chanaka Pandit also said that there's three things a learned person is. He has character. He treats all women as his mother. He treats people, other people's property as untouchable. And he treats others how he would like to be treated. So if one reflects on that, that if there's some fault that other people see, which is not hard for me to see all the faults that I imagine other people also can see them, is what would I would like to hear? What would you like to hear if someone saw a fault in you? You know, so, and then we can see the same, say the same thing to the other. Just like Prabhupada, he said the example where he says, I'm praying for your advancement. So if there's some quality of someone, mm-hmm. then we pray that if he just becomes a little bit more advanced, that bad quality will go away. So I hope he makes advancement quickly. Mm-hmm. And that kind of does a bunch of stuff.
Okay, thank you very much. Is that all? Okay. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.